Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen. Good morning, Neil.
Good
morning. We're starting a little late today, so apologies for that, but we are taking your calls for on-air readings and discussing the loosely organized brain, which we've been talking about for a few shows now.
Yeah, it's, well, you could talk about it for many shows.
Sure.
The brain is a fascinating region, and when you're looking at it both on a physiological level, anatomically speaking, and then you're also looking at it on a psychic level, astral level. I mean, there's just a lot of discussion on just vast amount.
Yeah, and obviously we're structured for reading, so you know, getting as deeply into certain subjects as we'd like to isn't totally possible. So it's fitting in what we can where we can, and anyway, so that's the reason for the extended topic. I know probably people want to see something fresh and new every day, but it's always fresh and new, right? We do invite those of you who are listening today and on in the phone lines to follow us on Blog Talk Radio, to join us on Facebook. You may like Neil Baker Psychic, follow Neil and Kristen Baker, or send us a friend request. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. Please press 1 if you'd like to speak with the host. We notice we have a caller who has not pressed 1, but perhaps they're just listening. So if you are just listening, you don't have to raise your hand. We will not bring you on. 562, it's a telethon. 562-596-7818 is the number to call after the show for more conversation than the radio show can accommodate, because this is kind of a one question format. These are short readings, so they're designed for, bullet-sized answers. And I guess, Neil, we're ready to start.
That's right. Let's go.
Okay. So the loosely organized brain, where did we leave off? I think we were kind of identifying areas or actions that indicate a disorganized sixth chakra.
Yeah, well, you know, yes, we were. And we were talking about, you know, so as far as an disorganized brain, let's talk about what an organized brain is. An organized brain, first of all, is how we organize our life, how we organize our hemispheres, how we organize.
Right, that's where we left off. We were talking about left and right hemisphere, yeah, and having balance in those two hemispheres rather than, you know, picking a predominant side. You know, that's where we left off.
With right, because, you know, they're in terms of the challenge sometimes in life is how do you remain sort of abstract, pursue your dreams, do your thing, while at the same time you have groundwork that is solid, you feel secure in your income, secure in your relationship. Ultimately, part of that has to do with the construction of the brain, more or less just karma, or what happens to us on an emotional level in terms of what the universe brings to us. The idea that we are also in control of our destiny, I think, is a strong factor, given the fact that also that we are products of karma and past life energies and things like that. So in that regard, the first thing is to work on grounding. I think in the idea of grounding in terms of the brain, we're talking about some of the basic things for grounding. You know, you do yoga, you do breathing,
or meditation,
affirmations,
prayer.
You know, first of all, check out to see how secure you are in the earth. Do you have a good job? Are you meeting your bills? Are you being responsible? Do you have, if you are in a relationship, is it a stable relationship? If you're not, you have to kind of look around at the situation that might be surrounding you that's blocking it. This is part of the main criteria of moving out of a disorganized brain. A lot of us seem to be mavericks at us. You know, we're saying, I don't have a stable life. I'm not in a relationship. I'm not making much money, but I'm just kind of getting through life the best I can. That's more like a vagabond. You're kind of like taking it by strides. You're living off the streets and just hoping that something comes along. I don't think that's a really good plan. I think a basic plan of action is first of all to stabilize a disorganized life by finding some sense or some semblance of order. That means we have an organized brain.
So we're talking about on a physical level, on a mental level, on an emotional level, and ultimately a spiritual level, but you've got to get all the preceding levels straight before you can really, there are so many people though that are,
there are
people that are spiritual that are, you know, not maybe necessarily organized in those lower levels, but they do exhibit
fine.
A great sense of
the
spirit.
Spirituality is fine, but until there is a grounding of solid energy, I mean, it's okay to be very spiritual and to think about higher things. I think that's the peak. That's the goal that we all are ultimately seeking. But it becomes disruptive and disorganized if you don't have stability. Now, there are those people their stability is through the kindness of others. In other words, somebody takes them in, they live in somebody's home, they get into a relationship where the other is very stable, and so they live with that person. And so their own stability is covered up by the fact that they are being sheltered by somebody else. So it's a sort of, it's an extension of stability. You're not really stable through the kindness of a stranger or a significant other. You're being stabilized. Now, that can be part of the karmic situation. And as long as that stability is there, we can designate that as part of the organized brain. So part of the organized brain doesn't necessarily mean that one has to do it on one's own. So for those of you who are lucky, who have found a way to stabilize your security through the access of a friend or a mate or a husband or a wife or somebody in the family, that's fine. I think that main stability motion is part of the readout of what starts to organize our brain. It may not have elevated to a higher place in the brain, because you're still maybe codependent on somebody else, but it still is a step towards organization. So that's the first concrete aspect of an organized brain, I think, is that you've got you're breathing and you're not panicking every day. So that's the first agenda, I think, that we have to look at in terms of that energy. And if it's not flowing in your life on a easy level, and you have to search for these things, well, then that I would deem as being a karmic connection to an organized life. There's a karma, there's a journey you have to take where you have to find these things. And if you're not finding them anywhere, then you have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, this is up to me. I can't rely on anybody else. And then it becomes important. Now, some people, with that in mind, they will take the street route, and meaning that they just whatever, they'll take any job, they'll sleep on somebody's couch, and they're sort of in temporary, it's a temporary abode of security. Or they're in transit of some sort.
For me, that would have never been a secure, grounded situation. I could have never been grounded in a situation where I was sleeping on someone's couch. I mean, maybe some people can find grounding in that, but as far as the organization of my brain, it would not work.
The fellow that was on the show Lost, there was a show called Lost, and he was the good-looking guy that was on the show. Before he got that part, he was actually sleeping on somebody's couch, and he was going nowhere. And he was, you know, an actor trying to get into acting. And then look what happened. I forget his name, but that's a story that at least was presented in the public system that, you know, when you're reading the papers,
the media,
and the idea. So the idea of being in transition while you're, look at Truman Capote, very successful writer. He spent his life, Suzanne, oh, the one who wrote Valley of the Dolls. But the that was one of his best friends. And he spent his life just living in people's homes.
Right. Some people are more structured to be vagabonds and can find more balance in that lifestyle. Not everybody's going to, though.
A lot of great shamans are put up. They travel around the world and they're put up
saying earlier about,
and they do work there.
Highly spiritual people that, you know, aren't really grounded in a specific residence.
Yeah. And so we have this creative aspect. But notice that if we're talking, you know, these individuals that get into this zone, well, they have a certain stability of mind. They're either great intellectuals, they're shamans, they're writers, they're famous people. And so that agenda is going. Now, you presented a story to me about a transient that was offered shelter in somebody's home.
That's right.
And then there was a fire in the house, and this individual saved the children.
No, he saved the children and the woman who had actually had like the beams of the roof on top of her when he ran in the room and heard the, you know, a big explosion. She was in flames, so on and so forth. He rescued her, but the kids were still in the house and he actually went back in, saved them, which is
now,
crazy.
Isn't it fascinating that here's somebody who's a street person without a home, a transient, comes into somebody's home,
which is a questionable, I mean, you know, inviting a transient into one's home can be somewhat risky. So this woman really put herself on the line here.
Individual stabilized the family well beyond the concept of any income.
Isn't that weird?
At the moment. So it's fascinating exploration of the psyche and of a human being's existence in terms of the relativity of what is security. And so, and there's plenty of hobos who are, you know, the old fashioned hobo that used to take on the trains and stuff, or just the vagabonds that feel
old,
a very carefree,
that's an old fashioned word.
Hobo. They don't need the responsibility. They don't want the car. They don't want the home. They don't want the taxes. They're just happy, go lucky people. And who's to say that that isn't a stable existence? So we're not defining
a stable existence by a set
according
agenda
to conventional standards of society.
But
yeah,
for the individual, it's going to vary, obviously, as I said, for myself, and I'm sure for you, Neil. I don't know. Traveling around for a lifetime is not probably a grounding situation for either myself or for you.
No, but
I mean, traveling would be fine.
I traveled, you know,
yeah,
I left home and traveled and did all that and hitchhiked and went all over the place when I was younger. But did I ever feel, the idea of being secure is a state of mind. And a client said to us recently, well, I'm lost. I just feel lost. Well, you're not lost. You are where you are, and that is a place in time and space. So to say that you're lost is really deviating from the real sense of what lost is. Sure, you could say you're lost, you don't know where you're at.
I think it was someone on the last show, actually, that said it.
Stated. Oh, I can't remember where it was. But the idea of being lost is not really a state that is accurate when you say it, because the idea of being lost is that you don't even know who you are. Now, I would say that somebody who has amnesia, who doesn't know, there's a woman that's been missing in our part of town for months and months and months and months. She has Alzheimer's. Nobody can find her. She's probably in the street somewhere. They haven't located a body. Now, that's a lost person. That's lost. But the idea that if you can conceptualize you're lost, you're not lost, because you're using your brain. So if we're getting to the idea of using the brain, we're using an organized brain to dismantle what we would consider to be disorganization. So the way to address a quote disorganized brain is to use the brain matter that you've got to analyze what is this disorganization all about? And as you take that apart, you begin to see that the order brain is really addressing the disorganized existence in such a manner that order is restored, at least some sort of exploration. There's a great movie called Flight of the Phoenix. The very first one was the better one than the second remake. But this was a plane that crashed in the Sahara, and out of the crash plane, they had to create parts from that. They had to create parts and build another plane and rescue themselves. Now, that's a great metaphor for a disorganized situation. You're crashing the Sahara and you're going to die unless you can organize from a disorganized situation some sense of organization. But in the process, they were organized. Sure, it might be challenging, but you're never, as long as you're breathing and thinking, the idea of being disorganized is just a state of temporary consciousness. And it's continuously addressed and challenged by the state that you are working towards organizing something. Now, that determines, of course, your brain power, your resources, and maybe a little help from above. But this is the attitude of how we ultimately address a disorganized brain, by first organizing your thoughts into some semblance of order that you begin to see a pathway out of any one particular dilemma.
Okay, let's take a caller and then we can get back to this. Or take more callers. Let's see what happens. 415 is our first, and this is Kate. Is it?
Yes, it is. Hello.
Hey, Kate, and it's 9:22:67.
Yes.
Right? 67, not 69. Now I finally remember. I do make that mistake every time, but we do know that you're a 36.9. How are you?
Good, thank you. How was your new year?
Good, it was good. I always like to do New Year's Day activities instead of New Year's Eve activities because it's nice to be fresh on the first day of the year, you know? So I hope yours was good too. So what's going on?
Oh, well, first I just want to say at Thanksgiving I called about driving on mountain passes. It was hairy. I mean, it was snowy, but it was fine. We went like 30 miles an hour, but everything was great.
Good.
It was a good
trip. That's what was expected, I think, when you called, that it would be a little bit sticky, but you'd get through it. And you did.
Yeah.
Here you are. So that's good.
I am.
Good.
So speaking of stability, I'd like more of a stability with work, with a different kind of work. But I still want to have the time to work for myself, so maybe a part-time job for somebody else, and then I have the freedom to work in my own business.
So are you just self-employed currently?
Well, kind of, yes. I'm self-employed and on-call, so it can be busy, and then it's extremely busy, and then extremely not busy.
So you're doing events still? You do events, catering, those sort of
things? Yeah, catering, exactly. Right, so now it's the winter, the holiday's over, so it's quiet now.
Right, well, I mean, weddings are coming up, I guess, in the spring, but that's a little bit ways away.
Yeah, I don't want to do that anymore.
You don't want to do that anymore. So, like, what kind of...
She doesn't want to do catering.
You don't want to do catering, or you don't want to work, like, for, like, specific types of catering events?
I don't really want catering to be my focus. I'd do it on the side, on the
weekend.
Right,
but aren't you an event yourself for your self-employment? Maybe I'm remembering wrong.
Yeah, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to do
it. You don't want to do it. So what are you going to do? So the self-employment obviously has changed, whatever your direction is. So what would you do working for yourself, first of all?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have that yet.
Oh, so you're completely, it's like a blank slate.
Yes.
Wow. And you're not sure what you want to do in terms of work either. Skill-wise, what kind of jobs are you qualified for?
I've done a lot of things. I've worked a lot for nonprofits. I could do a lot of different things.
Like administrative stuff or fundraising?
I did fundraising. I work well with organizing anything. More people organizing than admin, than computer.
Do you have a degree? Do you have a college degree?
Uh-huh.
And what's that in?
It doesn't matter. It was 20 years ago.
It doesn't. Okay. Well, you don't have to share it. But.
Well, Kate.
No, it really doesn't matter what your college degree is in.
Yeah.
No, I understand it
just
doesn't matter, but
what
yeah,
was your pursuit
it might matter in the reading.
My pursuit would be more using creativity, working more in the arts.
Okay, so there's a couple of things I want to address. Maybe you won't attach to all of them, but how long have you been doing catering?
On the side. Forever. It's always been a side thing, 20 years probably.
Would you say there's an art to catering? Is it a difficult job? Is there a procedure? Is there an organized way if someone came to you and said, I want to do catering. I have know nothing about it. Would you know how to teach someone how to do that?
That's a huge word. I mean, that could mean the business. That could mean cooking.
Well,
but
when we look at all the aspects, you know, the university is a big university, too, and there's different classrooms. But when you look at all the aspects of catering,
catering.
Kate the caterer. When you look at that, is there a system? Is there a school? Is there a procedure through which you could teach someone how to approach it on different levels?
No.
Yeah, I didn't.
Really isn't, huh?
No.
Because, you know, people who are going into catering, I think, you know, your master number is 9, and you talk about nonprofit, you want to be going to more of the arts and things like that, which may, at this point in life, in your life right now, which may be difficult in terms of income. So, you know, if we're looking at something you want to go into that is part of your higher self-esteem and part of your plan, we also have to equate that to what kind of income you're going to get for that. So, there's nothing wrong with pursuing nonprofit organizations that involve your interests.
No, that's just what I've done in the past. That's just my past. I'm not really interested in working for a nonprofit.
But Kate, if you could say what you're help with what you're interested in. I mean, catering is such a tough field too, because, you know, a lot of people do it in a transitional period. They're doing it when they're in school, and you work events like you're doing stuff like serving, like a waiter at events. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's one thing that I do. And then I coordinate the events as well.
Oh, you coordinate too, which is, I mean, that's a lot better than the waiting aspect.
I'm not sure. You want to have your own business, the catering business. You want a part-time job and you're calling us to do.
I don't want my own catering business.
She doesn't want her own catering business, but she wants her own business. I think that's what you were saying, right, Neil?
Yeah. You want your own business. You want, what I don't mean catering, but you want your own business.
Okay.
And we're trying to determine what that business would be. And you're calling us up on a psychic level to see if we could tell what that business would be.
You know what's interesting about Kate, too, I just want to point something out, is that you just turned 49 in September, right?
Uh-huh.
And that's in her karma. Look, 49. She's 9/22. So going backwards, Kate, the sum of your birth date is 22/4/9.
Karmic.
Some kind of karmic journey that's going on right now in your life.
Yeah. You're obviously reaching. You might be reaching back, Kate, to get in touch with something that you've done before in a past life that could be possible. Your master number is also in your month, which is on the past life agenda.
Right.
I want to ask you some cold questions. Do you like animals?
Right.
Do you like animals?
Yes.
Do you like what the thought of rescuing animals or getting into the idea of animal rescue or animal education or animal pet, whatever it may be, is that of interest to you?
No, I have more of an interest with children, working with children's creativity.
Okay, so you have an interest in working with children's creativity. In the idea of working with children's creativity, even if we were to analyze it in terms of working with children, let's just say you weren't going to do this, but working with children's creativity through the through the element of pets or animals, or at least some. I'm sorry.
Combining the two.
Well, even in a realm of relating children in terms of therapy with the use of, if they have an animal or a pet or taking care of something, or even in an abstract sense of using animals to help them, to help a child understand their problems. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. So let's start to brainstorm the idea that if you're going to be working with children, because I've worked with children throughout my whole life, small children, teenagers. So, you know, I'm familiar with the territory. And in the idea of working with children, you know, we talk about play therapy. Sometimes children use little dolls or toys to reenact what's going on at the home. There's also the process, it's probably not a new idea, of using animals or pets to understand the psyche of a child, to help a child work through that program. Now, if you were to maybe work with animal shelters or something like that, to where you move into school districts or into areas of the home or something, where you bring a pet along and work with children on a one-to-one basis with a pet. Usually it's sort of like, you know, the Wild Kingdom. The guy would come with the animal and visit the classroom and they talk about the animal. But using it as a psychological approach to the emotional state of a child who's going through something, and you're the animal whisperer.
Don't you need to have some kind of credentials in terms of, you know, working with children on that level in a therapeutic aspect?
I wouldn't let that stop you. I mean, you know, you can, I wouldn't let that stop you, because you can be very innovative in terms of embellishing a title through, not by means that you have to be licensed. There's no license that you have to talk to children with animals.
I mean, you can teach children, being a teacher, a private teacher of some sort of applied, you know, skill you can do, but, you know, offering therapy, I think, is going to be more challenging.
Well, you don't use the word therapy. You can use animal magic with children. You know, you have to work with a child's concept. You don't, I'm not a therapist. I work in the realm of animal magic and children. And this, most children, even the convicts in the prisons, they find that if they work with a dog, they become this loving, hardened criminals become very loving people. They love animals. So, you know, if we get into that concept, and we're only brainstorming here, we're trying to help you, Kate. We're trying to find some psychic slant.
Right.
So if you could start to creatively put your juices together and think animals, children, creativity. Mm-hmm. Let's start there and see
where it goes.
That's
a good triangle. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and there may be some places where she could get work. I mean, you know, start researching that too.
Well, I think it's
some foundations
or
something.
Other people that do similar things, yeah.
So go forward.
What did you say? I'm sorry, we missed that.
Oh, yeah, just looking at organizations that already do that in similar areas.
Exactly. That would probably be a good place to start. At least, you know, maybe if you got something part-time in a place like that, then you could build your resume. And then if you were to go off your own and do it yourself, there would be more of it.
Experience.
Yeah. Is there something you can teach children, like art or anything like that? Do you do anything like that?
No, more like theater, not the
that
art.
That to me seems like
Kate, asking a child to identify with an animal and putting on children's theater based on animal symbols or animal costumes could be something that you could organize. And maybe with a small fee, have children involved in the process of performance as animals, working out issues.
I could see it. Yes.
That seems like a good road. Okay, Kate. Well, good luck.
Great. Thank you for the time.
You're welcome. Thank you. Okay. Good.
Do we have another caller?
We do, but they're wanting to speak with us. Yes. And I believe this is. Is this Takeda?
Yes. Greetings. Happy New Year to you both.
Hi, Happy New Year. She's 7981. It's DAAKIETA. Is that right? Did I do that right?
Correct. Yes, you did, Miss Kristen.
DAAKIETA. Sorry, hold on just real quick so Neil gets the spelling right. D D-A-8, you got it. Okay, and it's 7981. She's a 35-8. So happy New Year. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I am so wondering, when are you guys going to do a class? Like, I would literally pay to sit down and soak in this type of understanding, you know, to further expand my wisdom. Because truly, I'm over here wondering why I felt the need on New Year's to put on several old clothes and cut myself out of it and literally organize my house. And this is the first time since I've been emancipated out of my mother's house that I wanted to organize my house for the new year. So when you guys came for the topic on Wednesday, I'm there like, wow, I really had to listen because I couldn't understand why I wanted to organize, because I knew that I want to get back into school and, you know, just lift myself up, like you had mentioned to the other caller about serving the higher self-esteem, you know what I mean? And so it's like, that's where I'm at. But, yeah, when you guys want to do a class?
Well, I mean, kind of our teaching is on the radio right now. We're in the process of writing a book, which is taking, and, of course, doing readings, you know, while that process is going on. But the book is taking so much of our time. I don't know if we're going to get a class organized away.
What we would probably do is, if there were enough callers that would be interested, is we could take an hour. Instead of redoing readings, we could devote some of our hour time during the week.
The radio
to
show.
Do a training program or something and have
a
discussion and lecture.
Yeah, you can if you give me your information, Dakita, you can email. I don't know. Are you on our Facebook?
No, I haven't been. I had to purge myself from there.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I'll find you.
What you can do, Kate, Dakita, is email me here on Blog Talk Radio, and I'll give you my email, and thereby you can send me your personal information so I can keep you on a list. And that way, if we do this, you know, and I invite everybody to email. If you're interested and you're a listener of the show and want some kind of formal class, you know, maybe a 6-week type of program that we could do.
Yeah, I mean,
let me know, and maybe we can organize that.
In us devoting one of our hours during the week to a sort of classroom setting thing, you know, we have the resources and we have the knowledge for it. So if there's a call for it, maybe that's something we can brainstorm on and see if there's anybody out there that would be willing to set forth on such a course. And
I wish I had the school bell sound, because I will ring it in right now, because I know there are other people that hear the school bell ringing.
The other option you have short of that would be maybe having a private reading.
Yeah, where you could do some kind of, instead of like doing the reading thing, you could do some kind of training or, you know, educational process.
Oh, y'all would do that?
Do that with,
oh, wow.
Yeah, we do that over the phone in private sessions. So that's something that's also could be perhaps worked out on some level.
Okay.
Did she have a question today?
Yeah. Did you have a question?
As far as school being my focal point right now, do you see that taking place? Because I know financially, I'm not looking at the fact that I don't have the financial aid, but, you know, as long as there's a will, there's a way. So do you see that or anything the angels have for me?
You're asking, like, specifically about a financial aid situation coming in for education. What kind of degree are you trying to get?
Nursing.
Nursing degree. I didn't remember that for some reason. And
well, I never really put it out there that I want to do this. You know, I keep on saying I would like to, but now I'm actually ready to do it.
And have you gone to school before?
Oh, yeah. I have a
bachelor's. So you have degrees?
Mm-hmm.
But you want to do nursing.
So you want to go into nursing, and of course you have to be licensed. And this is going to require money. Have you investigated any government programs or anything that where there's financial aid up to this point?
Well, no, being that I already have an account, I'm already in debt. I thought that I would have to pay that off first before I got into.
So you have loans that you're paying off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
I haven't been consistently paying it off, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, you don't want to compound one loan over another. But
I was trying to get into the little hospital. I mean, little, but you know, the nursing homes that would pay for the attendance to go back to school. I was trying to get into those, but it's, you know, very competitive.
Yeah, I'm sure.
What state do you live in?
I'm in Connecticut.
So it's probably
a good, high rate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a very high rate of education. Nikita, have you looked at every option in terms of those convalescent homes or nursing homes or?
Yeah, I have. And it's crazy. I've been trying to get into them and it's like, they don't call me back. Like they will call me back and I'm thinking that they're hot on the trail and then it just go cold, you know? So.
Do you go in person? Have you ever gone in person and spoken to the?
Yeah, and I missed the guy by a day.
Well, okay, but if there's a number of locations where you can go in person, I think a personal interaction and getting to know somebody, sit down with somebody, speaking with them, and not just throwing your resume out, request a conference, request an interview in person. Go in and say, I'm here, I'd like to speak to the supervisor have any time or the administrator or personnel and get to know somebody.
Okay.
And present yourself. And present yourself in terms of, you know, that you have resources, that you have a talent, that you have an interest, a passion, that this is why you want to do this work. And your attempt is to interact entirely directly with somebody face to face because, you know, you're eager. And you want to kind of step outside the mold and present yourself. I think that would be the best thing for you to do right now. You know, you're at a place, we've got you, Nikita, at the age of 35. That's where your karma shifts into a second gear of transcendence. And your energy of transcendence is basically in the attitude of getting into the eight of your year. Now, the eight of your year is a higher form of energy, which involves money and management and rebirth and power. There's many good things there that you have to look forward to. The fact, too, that 35 is your karmic number, and that equals an 8, and 8 happens to be in your year, which is in alignment with the movement of your life right now in terms of how old you are, is a very good situation for you.
Right, and it is a money number, 8.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if I were you, I would start to go take your body along with your mind, your feet along with your head, and go to these places, whether by pre-invitation or just stop in. And say, I'd like to talk to the administrator and introduce yourself, be presentable, let them get a vibe about you.
Okay.
This is what I would suggest you do right now, because from there, the magical element of moving you forward into nursing, you know, we're right now not in a place where you can get the loan. You have compounded loan, you can't get there. So what you've got to do instead of feeling frustrated is be innovative and start to walk the pavement and present yourself. It could be fun. You know, you got to look at it as a creative endeavor. You've got to give the person a vibrational feel of who you are, and maybe that might break you out of your rut.
Mm.
Because the timing's right.
Okay, Nikita. Well, again, you know, you can send me an email, and I'll give you my personal email address, and we can get in touch through there, and I'll keep you on a list for sure.
Oh, most definitely. Enjoy your weekend, guys, and thank you very
much. Yeah, and please keep us updated what goes on in the progress of this nursing agenda you've got going, okay?
I definitely will. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Take care.
You know, I know we live in an age where everything's, you got to do the internet and do the email and do the resume.
Yeah, I mean,
But there, I still don't think we're beyond the realm
of human to human contact.
Yeah,
I agree. I agree. Well, Neil doesn't email or use the internet at all. I do. But I was raised, you know, in a computer generation, as opposed to you, where you didn't have computers when you were
a youth. Clients say, you know, it doesn't work that way anymore, Neil. You know, you're behind the times. You just can't walk in anymore. People don't pay attention to that.
But they do, actually. They actually do.
I know they do.
That's it. So it's good to keep that element. I'm glad we have that element in our lives,
until
of the balance between
we're still
online and
we're still human beings, as far as I know. We haven't evolved that much to where we can't understand what an interaction is between two people face to face.
Right.
I mean, we haven't gone that far.
Right. And I think there's more, I mean, in terms of working in an energy field, working through the computer is totally different. That automation really is cold, as opposed to when you have someone on the phone and you're listening to their voice and there's more of an interplay of emotions.
Do a reading through text. I refuse.
Right. No, there's no, So if you text, me about a reading, don't, it's better to call because we're going to direct you to the phone number. Someone emailed me today who, it's like, we work in a different way. I know some people like that automatic response type of thing, but unfortunately it's just not how we work in that regard.
Yeah. To me, typing what I have to say or listening to somebody type me back a message is the antithesis of psychic energy.
But
it just doesn't work.
But I will say this: how we do work, and talking about a loosely organized brain, a lot of times you'll tell people don't email about appointments, they'll email. But I'm always happy to take a message or a question about psychic energy by email. That is fine. Not a personal question, of course, but if there are any questions that our listeners have about numerology, energy field chakras, I'm always happy to answer questions by email.
Well, that's how you compliment my lack of interest in that field. So you have that channel you can work through, which is a nice compliment to what I refuse to do.
Right, exactly.
So, it works, as a team, it works.
Yes. Okay. So let's bring on Amy, who we haven't talked to in a while, and I don't think we've even wished her a happy birthday. Have we wished you a happy birthday personally?
I
you just
think so.
12/29. So happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
She's 12/29/69. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well.
Good. What's going on?
Well, as I'm still preparing to retake my exam again, find the need for some income, and I had a job offer kind of fall into my lap. So I'm
driving for Uber, right? But this is a different job.
Yeah, it's a different job than Uber.
So tell us about it a little bit.
I went on the interview. I didn't even remember applying for the job. That's how interesting it is. I was like, oh, you're who? Okay, well, great. And I got the directions and went, and then I had the feeling during the interview that they were going to offer me the position, and so they did. And, it just was all really, really easy. So I guess my question is this what I want it? Is this what I want it to be, a financial support? Or is it presenting me with another stumbling block to taking up my time so that I'm not focused on my goal?
Well, you need an income, right?
I do.
Okay. And is this job going to be more of a time drain? Since I know that with you were saying Uber, when you drive for them, you can do nights and things like that. So maybe your days would be more free for your other activities. So is this like a daytime job that we're talking about?
Yeah. The hours are 5 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. So,
oh my God!
The early is tough, but the afternoon free is potentially good.
But you're sure up early. Do you are you an early riser?
Not really, but I don't sleep very well. So,
Sounds like
so
a horrible time to work. What kind
right,
of what field? What field are you in this job?
This is a customer service role in a warehouse. I've worked in warehouses before. But it's off the beaten path from healing work, but I'm curious if the energy of it is supportive or deterrent to the final goal.
How has the Uber been in terms of bringing in an income? How has that worked for you?
The hours that are best are not the hours that are best for the family, because even during like supper time is the best hour. During the end of the workday and a couple hours later are the best hours, and that's generally kind of the only time the family can come together.
Okay.
Is this full time?
5:30 to 1:30 is that? Yeah. How many days a week?
It is full time. It's 5 days.
Okay. So Amy, is this stopping? It's not stopping you from attaining your license and getting through the tests and everything. It's not stopping you. It's what it's doing is it's coming in to maintain, considering the circumstances of your life right now, it's coming in to maintain your stability. Now, with myself, I'm a hard worker. So if I were in your shoes and I thought, okay, I've got to wake up from 5 to 1:30. Oh boy, that means I've got to wake up maybe 4 o'clock in the morning. Your challenge is to adjust your body. You can adjust the biological elements of your body, because that's what you're going to have to learn to do anyways with your more intense pursuit of income and what kind of work you want to do. So understanding the points of your body through which you can adjust your body, 5:30, you wake up at 4, yet you're working from 5 to 1:30, and you come home what you have to do is then you spend the rest of your time pursuing, you're studying, whatever it is.
Right,
you're
and
doing.
She has a family too. So, I mean, being the family, I mean, she'll be busy.
If you stop and analyze how difficult things are, they will be difficult. If you get through them and just work hard, you won't have time to analyze it. So it's a matter of work. It's a matter of just setting forth and work. I know it's a hard position to take, but given where your energy is going and how it's been operating, Amy, it's the most constructive thing we could tell you to do, even though it may take more effort out of you. But if you're wondering, should I do this job? Well, the driving thing was haphazard too. It was, taking up time. I mean, there isn't anything that you're not going to be able to do that's not going to have to take up your time. But I would think 5 to 1:30, sometimes I think of these guys that deliver papers, and, I go outside and the paper's delivered every morning by 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm thinking, God, this guy must wake up 3:30, 4 o'clock, and then he's got to deliver papers everywhere. But does that mean he just goes home and goes to sleep? No, you have to structure. You're going to do five. Well, you have to wake up at 4, and you're
earlier.
1:30.
I think
maybe
probably wake up earlier than 4. Don't you think like 3:30 probably to get there on time and get out of the house? How early would you need to get up?
Right, it'll be tough to know. I think I'll plan on allowing allowing more time, and if it's going to work to get up at 4 and have everything ready and just head out, that would be perfect.
Yeah, okay.
Well, okay, so we're looking at that. Now, listen, we're looking at Amy, and you're off work at 1:30. You get home. How far is this place from your home?
It's like 25 minutes.
Okay, so you're getting home around 2, whatever, you're relaxing. You're not going to – you don't really need to get into bed until 9 at night. So between 2:30 and 9, you've got time to do what you need to do, including being, in your household obligations. You've got time. There's no excuse. And you're pursuing this as a personal pursuit. This is your dream. So I would say that to meet the requirements of your dream, you have approximately 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 6 hours to do your whatever work you need to do to pursue your license, and then to whatever you need to do to meet the responsibilities of your home. You've got 6 hours there, and you're going to do this. And to me, there's no question. You just do it.
Right.
I don't know how else to put it.
Right. Well, I appreciate that. I was kind of looking for the time management angle or the energy angle, which is similar. It's all related, but
right. You don't want to drain your resources as far as the work goes, as there are your pursuits for the acupuncture. And obviously, you want to pass the test. You want to make sure that you're able to balance all of these things. But
you know
what?
Maybe, does this seem to
right.
work? At least, is this in a workable approach, what we're giving you?
Yes. And it helps.
Okay, so then do it. Don't question it. You know, don't question it. Just that's the program. Do it. It's not going to be forever. And, you know.
Yeah.
Psychically,
you know,
you're going to get the job.
The idea for me of getting up that early is so horrible. But I mean, to be honest, when I was in college, I had to get up at like 4:35 in the morning. I had morning classes and then I had night classes. I drove like an hour. Sometimes in the morning, it was like 2 hours in traffic to get to school. And then I'd have this empty space in the day and I'd go work a shift. I did freelance work at the time
right.
in the middle of the day. And I didn't have a home base when I was, you know, in that area. I mean, I didn't live close enough to go back home. So it was, you know, juggling, and I was able to do it successfully. I graduated with honors. So,
right. It doesn't work. Isn't always meant to be agreeable. Sometimes work is an obstacle course. It takes you out of your comfort zone, but that's life. That's life. And I think that the goal of pursuing your dreams and maybe going through a difficult maneuver pattern to get there is part of life too. And so, you know, Chris and I hold the belief that so what? So it's tough. So what?
I'm just glad I don't have to get up right now at that hour. I'm glad that time is over for me. I'm not I've been getting up earlier, but you know, it's not like I don't like to have to be anywhere early in the morning.
I'll tell you something. The healthier people in life get up around 4 or 5.
Okay.
It's healthy to get up that early. Animals start to wake up then. The whole
world
is opening up then. And you know, the early bird catches the worm. But the idea of waking up early is a lot better than laying in bed till 10 or 11
and
wasting your life. That to me is disgusting.
Well, there's a median from 4 to 10. I mean,
for those that sleep, that work at night, maybe it's different. But they're working during those hours. So let's get our brain in gear. This is for you. These are your goals. Like I said before, do not consider yourself a failure. You're not going to pass. This is nonsense. You will, and maybe you're just going on a journey in the process of getting there.
Okay, right. Amy, hopefully that pep talk is helpful to you.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome. Keep in touch, okay? We've got only a couple minutes left in the show, so we've got to close down. Is there anything else you want to say before we close?
Nope, not really. It's freezing cold here.
Oh, I bet it is. We're much warmer here. How many degrees is it?
Like zero.
Zero. Yeah. Well, it's 62 here, so you can be envious of that.
I am, certainly.
Okay. Well, stay warm. Okay,
yeah,
take care.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Okay, we're back on the air on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, and hope everybody has a great weekend. Bye.